Main Street Living, I'm on TV. So I could have just put that up there. I was tempted when I did it because the last year I preached on the first Sunday in Lent on Main Street Living to preach the same sermon, but I didn't. Because we're examining that very thing, temptation. Usually, when we examine that, we go to the wilderness. We see Jesus being tempted by the devil and overcoming him with the very word of God. But instead today, instead of the wilderness, we're going to take a trip to the garden to see what happened that first day. It's a day that begins where we can't even comprehend what it was like. Paradise. Paradise. No pain. No suffering. No struggle with anything at all. Perfection. Can you even imagine what that's like, George? You'd never be cold again. He's thinking what if that part would go right in there, right? We can't even comprehend what that is. No death, no pain, no mourning, no sorrow. And it was everything that God had promised and said, here it is, Adam and Eve. But don't eat of that tree. Don't eat of that tree over there. And then comes the story of the fall. Interesting thing about Eve is that she says something so amazing right to begin with when Satan first comes to her. He said, did God say don't eat? She said, he said don't eat and don't touch. That wasn't what God said. God said don't eat. He said nothing about touching. And so she'd added to the God's word. And I believe at that point, she had already fallen because she doubted what the very word said, that they would die. Then, of course, Satan, you won't die. The father of lies, you won't die. Don't worry. By the way, that word dying right there is a compound word of dying and dying. It's mot, both, it's there twice. And so it kind of means when you eat of it, you'll die dying, which is what happens when sin enters, because we first die in our relationship with God spiritually, and then we die physically, and eventually we'll die eternally because of sin. Catch that? We'll die dying. Sure looks good. Said it was pleasing to the eye. And Satan had said she'd be like God. She just ate it. And that's how temptation always begins. It begins with something good. It doesn't begin with something bad. It begins with something good, like, let's say, I know, a peanut butter parfait. It looks delicious. You wouldn't go to temptation if it looked bad or it was going to hurt you, you thought. No, this is going to be good for me. And that's what Eve said. That's good. It looks good to eat. I imagine that even if that moment began to touch whatever that fruit looked like, and kind of like, you know, a piece of chocolate. When you first open a piece of chocolate, it smells good. It's got that lovely flavor. It almost fires off some dopamine in your heart, in your brain when you first... And that leads to looking a little farther, opening, and then eating it. They'd already fallen. Eve already had doubted God's word when she gave the fruit to Adam. So did Adam. Didn't believe he'd die. And that fall was so complete that our parents in paradise who walked with God and he was there all the time and they knew his very presence tried to do what? Yes! Hide from the omnipresent God they knew. That's how complete the fall was. That they thought they could hide from the very God who created them, the very God they'd walked with each day. But God's response was so different from what they expected. They hid in the trees of the garden. How does it say it in the text? Oh yeah, let's see. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They ran away. Did God know where they were? Absolutely. He's omniscient. He knew where they were. Did he know what they'd done? Yes, he knew what they'd done. But instead of coming down and saying, get out of the garden right here, I know you did this, he says these amazing words of grace. Where are you? Where are you? Which is an opportunity for them to confess and admit what they've done. Lord, we were deceived. But even in that opportunity of grace that he gives our first parents in paradise who know him, what does Adam do? Who was that woman you gave me? Blames God. It's his fault. And God doesn't respond to that. Turns to the woman and says, what have you done? She says, the serpent! Devil made me do it! Then he curses the serpent. And he lays the consequences of sin on Adam and Eve. Consequences of death. Consequences of childbirth and struggle and not equality and golly, there's going to be weeds in your garden this year, Al. Yep. Well, they have to struggle even to survive. It just doesn't happen. We live with that consequences. Have you thought about those consequences recently in your own life? What the consequences of those sins are? Not only are we tempted once in a while, we are tempted continually. Oh, I was getting dead. We are tempted every moment. James says an interesting thing. It's in James chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles. Verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. He himself tempts no one. Catch this. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. The desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. So, does James say, watch out for the devil? He said, watch out for your own desire. What's in here? Because I think temptation is much more serious from what's in here. And I think we rarely face what Jesus did with the devil, but every day we face what's right here. Our own heart wanting something that we shouldn't have. Our own heart that would lead us into death. And again, does temptation come as something ugly and bad? No, it comes as a peanut butter parfait. It comes beautiful. No one goes into temptation thinking this is a bad thing. It's a good thing. Fools us from our own desire. The writer to the Hebrews writes this about Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. One who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Sometimes we fool ourselves into saying, this temptation is too great. I'm a sinner anyways. So how do we beat that? Many self-help books say we just have to what? Try harder. Put it away. Don't look at it. But here it says we have one who has overcome it. That's what happened in the wilderness, where Jesus, by his very word, put Satan's temptation down. I think there was an amazing passage in that whole temptation is these words. Jesus hadn't ate for 40 days and 40 nights, and it says he was hungry. You're kidding me. Hungry? How would you do after 40 days and 40 nights, Jim? About half an hour, right? He was hungry. And did he have the power to turn anything he wanted into food? Yes. But he said he lived by the word of God, and he used the word of God to overcome that very temptation. Not doubt in the word, not thinking God didn't really mean this, but trust in his Father's word. And it was the word alone that sustained him. Now, I am going to repeat something I repeat every year we get to this text. And that's a text from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, which I think is the answer to temptation continually. Where it says, anybody know the text? You ought to memorize it. You ought to get it out, write it on the mirror, and memorize this one. Wait a minute, let me ask this question. Who doesn't face temptation every day? Right? Seeing no hands, we face it. James says temptation leads to desire, which leads to sin, which leads to death. So we need to overcome that very thing. Paul writes in Corinthians, no temptation has come upon you except what's common to man. So he says, no temptation that you face out there is greater than anybody else's. It's all been faced. Or another way to say it is nothing new under the sun. And then it says, God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can endure. The problem is that when we get to this temptation, instead of saying, God, help me, we put blinders on and pretend he's not there and look only at the temptation. Kind of like who? Adam and Eve, when they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Same thing. No temptation has come upon you except what's common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can endure. And then it says, and he will hold a way out that you can stand up under it. Wait a minute. He says no matter what temptation we face, there's a way out. And where is that way? To look to him. Instead of wearing the blinders, instead of ignoring his presence, to look to him and say, Lord, help me. And he will. I guarantee it. I guarantee no matter what temptation you face, when you look to Jesus, he knows what that is, and he has overcome it. What did it say? We have a high priest who has faced every temptation. He knows what you face, and he overcame it in your behalf. That's why he came. You see, Adam and Eve failed in temptation. Jesus didn't. And then when we trust him, he gives us that perfect righteousness which is his and declares us clean. That's what the high priest does. He declares us clean, and then when we fail, how's it say it? If we sin, this is in Revelation. If we do sin, no, 1 John, if we do sin, we have one who will forgive us our sin. So when we fail, again, what do? We leave the blinders on and stay in the sin? No. We look to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. Now next year, I'm going to ask again what 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says. You only got to write it down and keep in mind it for a year. First Sunday in Lent. I hope you all got it. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. He does not tempt you beyond what you can stand up under. And he will offer a way out for those who look to him. 1 Corinthians. May God grant you that victory. A victory won in his son. A victory won because he sent his son because we couldn't. A victory because Jesus is the second Adam. A victory that doesn't doubt God's word, but trust God's word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, who through his blood made an everlasting last will and testament, equip you with every good thing you need to do what he wants to do, working in us through Jesus Christ, that which pleases him, to be the glory forever and ever. Amen.